Welcome to Apologetics with Brian O'Connell, where in each episode I answer difficult questions that confront Christianity. In our last episode, we looked at the inspired version of the Bible, which was Joseph Smith's version of the Bible. We also looked at how the Book of Mormon was produced and saw that it was produced through occult and demonic practices. Another issue that we saw with the Book of Mormon was that large portions were plagiarized directly from the King James Version of the Bible, including the scribal notes. Lastly, we saw that Joseph Smith plagiarized several parts of Ethan Smith's book, View of the Hebrews. As we ended our last episode, I mentioned documents that were given to me by an LDS bishop that may provide archaeological and historical proof for the Book of Mormon, which I want to look at in this episode. However, before I address those documents, I want to share an email that I received last week through my website as a result of something that I said regarding Mormonism and the Mormon Church. This email came from David M. He wrote, "This is David. I am LDS. You stated that there is no archaeological and DNA evidence for the Book of Mormon. That is completely false. There is evidence for 95% of the Book of Mormon in North America. Thanks, David." First, I want to thank David and any other LDS member that's listening to my podcast. It's a blessing to me to know that you're listening to these episodes and that you would reach out to me based on what you believe is a false claim that I made about the Mormon Church or the Book of Mormon. David's issue is with a claim that I made in a series that I taught on Mormonism, which can be found on my website, brianoconnell.org. In that series, which I am slowly covering the same content in these podcast episodes, I claim that there is zero archaeological evidence for the Book of Mormon. In response to my claim that there is zero archaeological evidence for the Book of Mormon, David is making the claim that there is evidence for 95% of the Book of Mormon in North America. The reason I'm addressing David's email is that it ties into what I was planning on addressing in today's episode anyways, and because his response is a common tactic that is used by the LDS Church and its missionaries. What I mean is that whenever you talk to a Mormon, they will make these kinds of statements without providing any actual proof. Sadly, these statements tend to stop Christians dead in their tracks, and they are unable to respond to their LDS friends. But I want to push back here and ask, what is the archaeological evidence that you are talking about? In my response to David, I thanked him for his email and I asked him this very same question. He hasn't responded yet, and I just want to point out that whenever a Mormon does respond, it is with the same information that I'm going to be addressing in this episode, the same information that was handed to me in those documents by that LDS bishop. If you're a Christian and you are presented with these kinds of claims by members of the LDS Church, ask them to provide the evidence. Don't be afraid of their claim. Don't be afraid to ask them for evidence for these kinds of claims. Put the burden on them to provide proof. Now, for the LDS member that is listening to this episode, I would encourage you to look for proof for the Book of Mormon. You will find that there isn't any. However, you might be listening to this episode and thinking, okay, Brian, how is your claim any different from David's? You are claiming that there is zero archaeological evidence for the Book of Mormon, and he's claiming that there is evidence for 95% of the Book of Mormon. Obviously, both David and I cannot both be true at the same time. One of us is wrong. So, how do we know which of us is correct? To this, I would say that you should be asking me the same question that I asked David. You should be asking me for proof. This applies to whether you are a Christian or a member of the LDS Church. The question is the same for everyone. Brian, What evidence do you have for the claims that you are making about the Mormon Church and the Book of Mormon? This brings us to the content that I have planned for today's episode. As I pointed out in my last episode, I was presented with a stack of documents by a Mormon bishop, which he claimed was evidence to support the Book of Mormon. Not only do I want to look at these documents deeper to see if they actually do provide evidence for the Book of Mormon, but I also want to take a deeper look at archaeology as a whole to see if there is any support for the Book of Mormon. So let's begin. Going back to where we left off in our last episode, as I said, I was able to get in contact with the Mormon bishop and establish a relationship with him. Over the course of several months, we conversed back and forth, both through email and on the phone. I asked him about the supposed proof for the Book of Mormon that he had handed to Dr. Carlson, as well as other questions about Mormonism and the Book of Mormon. He was kind enough to give me a copy of those documents, as well as to send me additional resources and links that he argued was evidence for his Mormon beliefs and for the Book of Mormon. However, each piece of evidence that I was presented with by my new Mormon friend did not really act as proof for the claims of Mormonism or the Book of Mormon. For example, the documents that were handed to me and to Dr. Carlson were a copy of a publication by the late Eugene England, who had been an associate professor of English at Brigham Young University. The title of the article was, "Through the Arabian Desert to a Bountiful Land, Could Joseph Smith Have Known the Way?" This article was a printout from a book that was published in 1982, titled Book of Mormon Authorship, New Light on Ancient Origins. In this article, Dr. Eugene England studied different passages from the Book of Mormon, which described the migration of Lehi from Jerusalem to the New World. England's point is that based on the abundance of evidence that he presents, there is no way that the Book of Mormon could have been written in the 1820s, based on how vivid Joseph Smith is in the details of Lehi's migration. In other words, English is saying that there is no way for Joseph Smith to have known about some of these places and to have been able to give such vivid details unless the Book of Mormon truly was from God. The intro to English's book claims that more than 20 significant geographical details accurately described in the Book of Mormon, but not known in America in Joseph Smith's time, serve as evidence that it is indeed an ancient document written from first-hand information. However, in reading through this chapter, the abundance of evidence that Dr. England claims to have given just isn't there. Some of the things that England uses as proof is that Joseph Smith didn't make reference to things that were known to him at that time regarding geography. However, this is not proof. In fact, we will see in a later episode that Joseph Smith does make references to things that were around during his lifetime that weren't around during the time of the events that the Book of Mormon supposedly records. Listen to what England writes. The route and times were quite specific, even somewhat mysteriously so. With this statement by England, I was expecting him to give me a very detailed account of what would make it clear that Joseph Smith could not have possibly made up the events recorded in the Book of Mormon. The following is the supposed detailed account which comes directly from the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi, chapter 2, verse 2, verse 6, and verse 9, where it says that Lehi came down by the borders near the shore of the Red Sea, and he traveled in the wilderness in the borders which are nearer the Red Sea. And when he had traveled 3 days in the wilderness, he pitched his tent in a valley by the side of a river of water. And when he saw that the water of the river emptied into the fountain of the Red Sea, he spake unto Laman, saying, "Oh, that thou mightest be like unto this river, continually running into the fountain of all righteousness." Dr. England said, and I quote, that the route and times were quite specific, even somewhat mysteriously so. However, there is nothing in this account that I just read of Lehi's travels, as recorded in 1 Nephi chapter 2, and as recorded by Dr. England, that should cause any reader to think that this was a quite specific and even mysteriously detailed description of a migration. This account mentions the Red Sea, the wilderness, borders which are near, or rather nearer the Red Sea, a valley by the side of a river. None of these geographical features are detailed. In fact, anyone who has heard the story of the Exodus could have come up with these same features. Later in his article, Dr. England again makes the point that there is an abundance of unique details that Joseph Smith lists. Listen to what England writes. If we assume Joseph Smith is the author of this story, he has provided us with a daring abundance of unique details about matters unknown in his time, which ought to make it a simple matter to show him factually wrong in light of later discoveries. England goes on to explain what the daring abundance of unique details are. He writes, most dramatic and most easy to falsify would be the references to campsites at specific locations capable of producing crops, the conditions near a mountainous area supporting wild game that would break a steel bow and cause others to lose their spring, and yet where wood for new bows could be found. And most of all, of course, the abrupt turn in direction and travel eastward over an unusually desolate area, but directly to a remarkably fertile area where there was fruit, flowers, and honey on the seashore that also meets a unique combination of unusual conditions, a beach, but also cliffs from which someone could be thrown into the deep sea, or for tool making, timbers of sufficient length and quality for shipbuilding, and a prevailing wind to take them toward America. Again, even though Dr. England lists each of these details and claims that they are so specific and unique that they could not have possibly been made up, not one of these things should cause anyone to think, wow, how could Joseph Smith have known that? Again, it's not impressive, and this does not act as evidence of divine action for Joseph Smith to have written that Lehi camped at different locations, found trees to repair broken bows, found fruit, flowers, and honey, along with animals to hunt, and that they found a beach with cliffs along with a strong wind. Although this article boasted of a daring abundance of unique details, and details that were quite specific, even somewhat mysteriously so, no such details were given, nor are any such details found in the Book of Mormon. So, as I've clearly shown, this handout did not provide evidence that the Book of Mormon was a divinely inspired book. Not only that, but this handout did not even provide evidence that the Book of Mormon is a reliable historical document. Something else to consider is that these same details that England is claiming provides proof for the divine origin of the Book of Mormon are the same details that were included in Reverend Ethan Smith's book, The View of the Hebrews, which I addressed in my last episode. If you recall, this book, The View of the Hebrews, came out 5 years before the Book of Mormon was published. And if you recall from the last episode, the LDS Church hired the historian B.H. Roberts to investigate the similarities between the Book of Mormon and the book The View of the Hebrews, and he concluded that the similarities between the Book of Mormon and The View of the Hebrews are not mere coincidence. In other words, he claimed that these ideas and details that are found in the Book of Mormon were plagiarized and stolen from the book The View of the Hebrews. And when you take this evidence into account, it becomes even more clear that the Book of Mormon is not a unique and divinely inspired book, or that it's amazing that Joseph Smith, an uneducated man, could come up with such details. It's not amazing because he plagiarized and stole these ideas from somebody else's book. So let me go back to the resources that the Mormon bishop gave me. Along with the handout that I just went through, my Mormon friend also asked me to look into the city of Nahum. He wrote a note for me on the top of the handout that I just discussed, and even sent me a link for a video on the city of Nahum. According to the Mormon video that my friend asked me to watch, it mentions a city called Nahum. This short video was only 3 minutes and 47 seconds long and attempts to make the claim that archaeologists have found this city along with evidence that this is an ancient location that proves the Book of Mormon to be true. However, no compelling evidence is given. In fact, the archaeologists that are interviewed in the video are talking about a completely different city that is spelled differently but has a similar sound. Mormons are attempting to force this known city into being a city mentioned in the Book of Mormon, but there is no scholarly support for this. In fact, as a result of this video, I reached out to the Biblical Archaeology Society to see if there was any truth to these claims. Their response to my question was short and clear. Listen to what the Biblical Archaeology Society had to say regarding whether or not Nahum had been found and that the location of this city proves the Book of Mormon to be true. In their response, they said, "We can find no scholarly support of this claim." I received this email from them on March 4th, 2011. It's clear from what I've shown so far in this episode that the supposed proof texts that I received from this Mormon bishop didn't turn out to be proof or evidence at all for the Book of Mormon. But this didn't seem to match up with what I had been reading in different apologetic sources. For example, in a previous episode, I referenced Dr. Ron Rhodes' book where he says that down through the years, Mormons have claimed that archaeological finds have proven the veracity and reliability of the Book of Mormon. Is the evidence I received from my Mormon friend the kind of evidence that Ron Rhodes was referring to? It couldn't be. In fact, in some of my interactions with Mormon missionaries, they had claimed that the Book of Mormon was so accurate that it had been used as an archaeological guide by institutions like the Smithsonian. Was this claim true? Well, as I continue to research Mormonism more, I read several different Christian apologists who referenced Mormons making such claims. In these Christian apologetics books, they argued that because Mormon missionaries were making this claim so often, and because the Smithsonian, the National Geographic, and other institutions were receiving so many inquiries regarding the truth of these claims, these institutions wrote letters stating that the Book of Mormon had never been used as an archaeological guide. So, Mormons are claiming that there is archaeological, historical, and scientific proof for the Book of Mormon. In fact, they're saying that this proof is supported by institutions like the Smithsonian and the National Geographic Society, whereas Christian apologists are saying that there is no evidence to such claims. At the beginning of this episode, I shared the email that I received from David, where he claimed that there is evidence for 95% of the Book of Mormon in North America. So who is correct? Is there evidence or is there not evidence for the Book of Mormon? Years ago, after reading different Christian apologetics books and learning about the supposed letters from the Smithsonian and the National Geographic Society, I wanted to verify for myself whether or not the Smithsonian and other organizations had in fact written such letters. In their response to my request, the National Geographic Society sent me a letter as well as included a statement from the Smithsonian Institute, which they said was issued in 1996. I received these letters on October 28th of 2010. in response to questions on whether or not the Book of Mormon had ever been used as an archaeological guide, listen to what the Smithsonian Institute said. In a letter that they issued in 1996, they said the following: "Your recent inquiry concerning the Smithsonian Institution's alleged use of the Book of Mormon as a scientific guide has been received in the Smithsonian's Department of Anthropology. The Book of Mormon is a religious document and not a scientific guide. The Smithsonian Institution has never used it in archaeological research, and any information that you have received to the contrary is incorrect. Accurate information about the Smithsonian's position is contained in the enclosed statement regarding the Book of Mormon, which was prepared to respond to the numerous inquiries that the Smithsonian receives on this topic." The following is the statement regarding the Book of Mormon that the Smithsonian Institute refers to in the letter I just read. Listen to this statement that they wrote regarding the Book of Mormon. "Because the Smithsonian regards the unauthorized use of its name to disseminate inaccurate information as unlawful, we would appreciate your assistance in providing us with the names of any individuals who are misusing the Smithsonian's name." In their letter to me, the National Geographic Society gave more information. For example, listen to what they said. "Dear Mr. O'Connell, thank you for contacting the National Geographic Society. The National Geographic Society has not examined the historical claims of the Book of Mormon. We know of no archaeological evidence that corroborates the ancient history of the Western Hemisphere as presented in the Book of Mormon. Nor are we aware of the empirical verification of the places named in the Book of Mormon." This letter from the National Geographic goes on to address the fact that the Book of Mormon has been read and revered by millions of people. However, listen to what the letter says about Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. The letter goes on to say, "Yet Smith's narration is not generally taken as a scientific source for the history of the Americas. Archaeologists and other scholars have long probed the hemisphere's past, and the society does not know of anything found so far that has substantiated the Book of Mormon." Not only did this letter just say there is zero evidence to substantiate the Book of Mormon, but the letter goes on to state that evidence actually contradicts the claims of the Book of Mormon. What I mean by this is that the Book of Mormon claims that the New World's inhabitants came directly from Jerusalem to the American continent approximately 600 BC. In other words, the Book of Mormon claims that Native Americans were Jews and therefore direct descendants of the House of Israel. However, the letter from the National Geographic Society rejects these claims and states that evidence contradicts the Book of Mormon. Listen to what the letter says. "Not only did they state that there is zero evidence to substantiate the Book of Mormon, they write the following: Students of prehistoric America by and large conclude that the New World's earliest inhabitants arrived from Asia via the Bering Land Bridge. Lower sea levels during the Ice Ages exposed the continental shelf beneath the Bering Strait, allowing generations of ancient Siberians to migrate east." The letter goes on to say that the National Geographic carried the article "Hunt for the First Americans" in the map supplement "The Dawn of Humans, Peopling of the Americas" in December of 2000. The employee from the National Geographic Society that sent me this letter concluded by writing the following: "I have enclosed a copy of a statement issued by the Smithsonian Institution in 1996. You might want to write the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History and ask if they offer additional information on the topic. You can write the museum at the address below. I hope this information proves helpful." Another statement that I received came from an updated letter from the Smithsonian that was updated in 2007. It said that the Smithsonian considers the Book of Mormon a religious document and not a scientific guide. The Smithsonian Institution has never used it in archaeological research and has found no archaeological evidence to support its claims. Something that's important to note is that not only did the Smithsonian state in their letter that they have never used the Book of Mormon in their archaeological research, but even more damaging to the claims made by Mormon missionaries is that the Smithsonian said that they have found no archaeological evidence to support these claims and that such claims are inaccurate. But things get even worse for the Book of Mormon and the LDS Church, because if you recall from a letter I read earlier in this episode, the Smithsonian Institute actually issued a warning which stated that using their name to disseminate this kind of inaccurate information is unlawful. What these letters show is that statements like David's and other LDS members that claim that there is evidence for 95% of the Book of Mormon is completely false. The fact that there is zero evidence to support the Book of Mormon should be very alarming for any Mormon, especially since in Mormon chapter 6 in the Book of Mormon, it makes the claim that at the Hill Cumorah, which according to the LDS Church is in Manchester, New York, over 230,000 people died in an epic battle. An even larger battle is recorded in Ether chapter 15 verse 2. Where it says that over 2 million people died in battle. You would think that with so many people dying in such epic battles, there would be evidence of such events in civilizations existing. However, as the Smithsonian and the National Geographic Society have pointed out, no such evidence exists. So we've just seen that there is no archaeological evidence that supports or substantiates the Book of Mormon. But what about the Bible? Joseph Smith claimed that the Book of Mormon was the most accurate book, even more reliable than the Bible. And this is the view that the LDS Church holds today. However, we've just seen that there is zero archaeological evidence to support the Book of Mormon. What about the Bible? Well, we saw several episodes ago that archaeology greatly supports the Bible. But before I move on, let me read to you another letter from the Smithsonian Institute regarding the Bible. I received this letter on June 10th of 2010. This letter was in response to inquiries about the historicity of the Bible in general and the biblical account of Noah's flood. In their letter, which was a generic letter issued in 1999, they write, "Many people ask if the biblical flood actually took place, i.e., a flood which literally covered the entire earth and wiped out all living things except those which managed to board the ark. The occurrence of a flood story in both the Bible and the Epic of Gilgamesh, as well as in other folk traditions, does hint that there may have been enormous flooding of river valleys in a far distant time." The letter goes on to say that it is impossible to verify the actual events recorded in the biblical account of the flood. However, listen to what they say next. They write, "On the other hand, much of the Bible, in particular the historical books of the Old Testament, are as accurate historical documents as any that we have found from antiquity, and are in fact more accurate than many of the Egyptian, Mesopotamian, or Greek histories. These biblical records can be and are used, as are other ancient documents, in archaeological work." In fact, listen to what the employee wrote when she emailed me this letter from the Smithsonian. "After including in her email to me a list of over 130 articles published by the National Geographic Society, she said, 'I am attaching a list of articles pertaining to archaeology in Bible lands. Safe to say, the Bible has been frequently used by archaeologists. You might also contact the Bible Archaeology Society for information on the subject. So here, in this email, and from the letter from the Smithsonian Institute and the National Geographic Society, we see that there is scholarly support for the claim that the Bible is accurate and has in fact been used as an archaeological guide. It is clear from everything that I have shared in this episode that archaeology does not support the Book of Mormon, but yet it does support the Bible. The next area that I want to look at is the field of anthropology and other scientific fields to see if they support the Book of Mormon. But we will have to look at these fields in our next episode. That's all the time that we have for today. Come back next time as we look at the field of anthropology and other fields of science to see if they support the Book of Mormon. Does DNA evidence support the Book of Mormon and the claims of the LDS Church? Come back next time to find out. God bless.